Thank you, brother. It's a joy to be here with you. Again, I express my thanks to the Lord for our fellowship, the fellowship that He's brought us in of His dear Son. Our fellowship is in the gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we were talking about the message that I felt the Lord would have me preach, and I found out your pastor is also preaching through 2 Kings, and we just enjoyed talking about what this passage. But this morning I want to use this passage as an illustration of what the Scriptures teach in In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Our weapons are of this warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The weapon is the Word of God. Mighty through God, the Holy Spirit, to the pulling down of strongholds, the imaginations of men. The title of the message this morning is, I Thought. The title of the message is, I Thought. Man, since he fell in the garden, that is, we, since in our father Adam fell in the garden, we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. Coming into this world with our minds at enmity against the one true and holy God. When man knew God, they honored God not, they glorified Him not, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. The mind of natural man is darkened, has the mind darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in every man by nature. When the Lord God looked down on the earth, and it hasn't changed. It's in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. But what is said there in that verse is said every day from the day that Adam fell. It's revealed then in that verse. But it's the same today. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Lord said, He looked down. He looked down to and saw that every imagination of the thoughts of men was continually only evil. Only evil. And I'm going to read that. And Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. Where is this enemy? Where does this enmity reside? In the heart of man. In the heart of man. Every thought, every imagination. What this means that man by nature, if he even tries to have lofty thoughts of God, even those thoughts are enmity against God. He cannot know. He cannot know God. Continually, evil, evil continually. Well, The natural carnal mind is enmity against God. Without God, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Man's thoughts are enmity. That's what the Scriptures teach. That's what God teaches about every one of us in this place by nature. It's the doctrine of total inability, total depravity, death. Man is dead by nature. But Being dead by nature doesn't mean he doesn't have thoughts. He thinks, and everything he thinks is contrary. He thinks, man by nature thinks that God is like him. That God is like us. Therefore, he makes himself God. You know, when Satan came in the garden and tempted Eve, he said this. He said, so God has said, she said this, God has said that you cannot eat of every fruit. And Eve said, well, it's this fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, oh, you won't die. God knows this, that the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. You'll be like God. And man, from that day to this day, he thinks he's like God. He makes himself gods after his own imagination. Every man, woman, and child, their thoughts are contrary to God. Only evil. And here's the thing is, man, when he makes the God of his own imagination, he knows that there's evil. He knows that there's evil in the world, but he doesn't think he's evil. And man thinks this, that because God doesn't strike him down with a lightning bolt right then and there in the act, that God must love me. God must love me. The psalmist said in Psalm 50, verse 21, thou thinkest, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. And by that, men believe that God is relative. God is not holy. God is not holy. God is relative. Everything's relative. But God is holy. God is just. God is holy. God is just. And man is a sinner. Man is a sinner. Man doesn't believe that the only way to come to God is by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who he sent to give his life a ransom for his people. Now, here's what the gospel teaches, that God has made reconciliation. When man went away from God, when man went away from his Creator, he was dead, he could not come to God, did not know God, did not have the desire to come to God, dead in trespasses and sins. But God, in grace, found only in the heart of God, in his grace, sovereign grace and mercy, he sent his Son to make reconciliation, to bring together again. He has reconciled his people to himself in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made reconciliation, and he's given his church, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses to his people. He imputed to his Son, because he made him to be sin for us. He made him to be sin. That's why he imputed. He didn't impute it to us, because he made his Son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, reconciliation was made. In the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave his life a ransom for his people. But man needs to be reconciled. Man needs to come to an understanding. That's the gospel. That's the ministry of the gospel. God sends forth his good news, the witness. He gives life. The Holy Spirit gives life in the heart of a man. And gives him a new mind, a new understanding, a new affection, and a new will. That is the heart of man, the understanding, the affection, and the will of man. Now, understanding. Man is lost, dead. But how is he going to know? How is he going to know? His thoughts are against God. His imagination is against God. He needs to be reconciled. Remember, the title of the message is I Thought. Naaman said, I Thought. And we have this picture here in 2 Kings chapter 5. You see, Naaman, it says here, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because the Lord had given deliverance or victory unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. This is teaching us that by man, no matter what kind of degree of, as we compare man against man, that's comparing one worm against another worm, one maggot against another maggot. They're both maggots, but one maggot feels like he's more than another. It gets elevated in rank. And no matter what a man, you may say of a man, this is what causes us to be unclean. We're lepers. Before God, we're lepers. Leprosy is an incurable disease. Leprosy causes everything that we touch to become unclean. Leprosy casts us out of the city. We are lepers, and it affects everything in our being. Everything we touch, everything we do, where we actually stand, everything is unclean. And that is the description of man. Now, man doesn't know that. Man doesn't know that. Man thinks he's somebody who happens to have a little problem with sin. No, he's a sinner. And these are the thoughts that are in the imagination of a man. I thought, before the Lord Jesus Christ comes and reveals himself, I thought I was pretty good. But I found out that I wasn't good at all. That nothing, there's no good thing dwelling in the flesh. No good thing. Naaman, he's a leper. That is the one word that describes man, unclean. A leper was to go about outside the city. If anybody came near, he had to cover his mouth and cry out, unclean, unclean. Because everything he touched was unclean. It is the very opposite of God. God is holy, holy, holy. God is just. There is none like God. And man thinks that he's like God. His thoughts have to be changed. He has to be changed on that. Leprosy is a good picture of man. He's unclean. God is holy. And we do not understand the holiness of God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it's on the cross where we begin to see the holiness of God. The holiness of God. Can you imagine the angels looking down? They've been looking down from eternity. They're looking down in the Old Testament around it. That's what the picture is of the ark with the cherubims looking towards the mercy seat. What God is, what is this? That God would desampara, that God would forsake his Son, the creator of all things. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who always did that which pleased the Father, when he was made sin, when he took the sin of his people in his own body on the cross, and he was made sin, the justice of God fell on him. The justice of God. And in that agony, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, he always believed God. Though he was made sin, he didn't lose the knowledge and understanding of God. I hope that comes across clear. When we became sinners in the fall of our father Adam, we lost the knowledge of God. By sinners, we lost the knowledge of God. We lost the life of God. We lost the way to God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He always believed God. And when He was made sin, He still trusted God. That's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the faithfulness. That's the faith by which we're saved, the righteousness of God. Well, God is holy, and man is a sinner, a leper. But he has thoughts, he has imaginations that he is somebody. And the series had gone out. Now, here he is. He's not looking for God. He thinks he's all right. He's blessed by God, if you would ask him. God loves him. You see, God gave victory to the Syrians by this man. He was well liked. And if you would have asked Naaman before, does God love you? Oh, yeah, God loves me. Well, he didn't have a reason to say that. But men have this thought that God loves me. The only way you can know that God loves you is if you believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust him, is because God did love you. But if you'd have asked Naaman, he said, oh yeah, I believe in God. But he didn't know God. There he is in Syria, and he's a leper. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. God, who is rich in mercy. He loved his people from before the foundation of the world. And yes, we're lost. And yes, we're lepers. Yes, his people are sinners. But he loved him. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved you with an ever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul talks about. That's the love of God. God doesn't love you one day and then the next day he doesn't love you. This man Naaman and God's people, God has loved for eternity, and they're lost, they're sinners, they're in their own imaginations, they're enemies of God, but God is going to reconcile. He's already reconciled to his people by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's always looked to his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how is he going to reconcile this man? His thoughts are wrong. Repentance. There's no faith apart from repentance. And there's no repentance apart from faith. They're two of the same coin, or two sides of the same coin. When God gives faith, he grants repentance. And when God grants repentance, he grants faith. You can't have one without the other. And the repentance is towards God. And faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing on him. Trusting his finished work. Trusting what he did as a man when he lived here on this earth, that he did establish righteousness. Trusting his blood, that it does put away all my sins. And I'm not doing anything. I'm just trusting him. Well, repentance has to do with all these thoughts. All these thoughts that a man has by nature, that he's going to somehow or another earn salvation, or somehow or another by his position, that he's going to merit God's favor. God's got to knock that out of his children. He's the only one that receives all the glory and all the praise and glory. Not unto us is the song of glory. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Well, and it says here, the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Like I said, Naaman wasn't looking for a knowledge of the true and living God. He wasn't searching. And when the Lord found you, you weren't searching for Christ either. You perhaps were in religion. All men by nature are in religion, the religion of their own imagination. But you're in religion and you thought, God loves me. But God is going to send His message. God is going to bring you out of that darkness, that superstition, and that idolatry of your own mind. And He's got to send a messenger. He's got to understand that I've got a problem. Naaman probably thought, well, I got this real hit. But there was a little maid there in the house. And I'm sure Naaman wasn't publishing this. I'm a leper. Perhaps he had it well hidden under all those general clothes. And but this little maid that lived in the house, she told Naaman's wife. It says here, she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord," as that is to say Naaman, "were with the prophet," or before the prophet, the one that has the word of God, "that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." It did not say, notice though, what even the message there of this little young maid, she didn't say he might. He said, if he was before him, he'd save him. Everybody that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ as a poor leper, brought by the Holy Spirit, is saved. God doesn't bring His people and start the work and then leave it halfway done. If He's working in the life of His people, He's going to bring them to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it happens when God shines light, we see ourselves in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But she said, "Would to God that my Lord," that is Naaman, "were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." That is good news in a far land. That is good news in a far land. But you see the sovereign work of the Lord to send His gospel or His good news to a person in a far country. And listen, it's a sovereign work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sovereign. He will do, and He will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. And He'll have compassion on whom He will have compassion. No man can force Him. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came back from Capernaum and went into His own town, it says there in Luke chapter 4 that they gave Him a scroll. And He read the text and He said, "This day," in Isaiah, He said, "This day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ear." And they all gave testimony of the gracious words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He said to them, "You're going to say this proverb to me. You're going to say, physician, heal thyself." And then He explained what He meant. He said, "You're going to say to me, of all the things that we've heard you do in Capernaum, we want you to do them right here." In other words, we've got some kind of influence over you. We got some kind of right to, if you did it over here, well, surely you're going to do it here. And the Lord said, there were many widows. There were many widows in the days of Elisha. Did I say it right? And then, to none of them was the prophet sent, but to this woman, a widow in Sarepta. And then He said there were many lepers in the days of Elijah. And to none of them were healed but Naaman, a Syrian. And that infuriated them. What was the Lord Jesus Christ? They wanted to kill Him. And what was the Lord Jesus Christ saying? He's saying, "I'm sovereign. I'm sovereign, and I'll do whatsoever I want to do. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And no man can stay my hand and say, what doest thou?" No man can stay the hand of God Almighty and say, what doest thou? He's God. God. Well, He's sovereign. He sovereignly sends His word throughout the world to accomplish His will. And here's some of these thoughts. Well, Naaman went and told the king of Syria. And the king of Syria said, to Naaman. He's going to send him some letters of recommendation. You see, Naaman didn't disagree with that. Naaman didn't disagree with that because he thought, yeah, that's the way I'm going to get entrance. I'm going to get this recommendation. So he sent these letters. We read the text earlier. And they said, this is my servant Naaman. When these letters come before you, know that he is Naaman, and I'm sending them to you for you to heal him. And the king of Israel, he thought, man, he's looking for a fight. I know I can't do it. Naaman knew he couldn't do it. Naaman knew he didn't have power in himself to heal himself. But he had wrong thoughts. He thought that he went to the wrong place. The message was, would that he were before the prophet of the Lord. Would to God that people would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save. It's not coming to the front of the building. People have altar calls and have people come down. There's nothing up front. There's nothing in this man or any other man. Don't come to me. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But people think, well, I need to. And sometimes people come to me and they say, well, so-and-so wants to talk to you about confessing the Lord and baptism. I don't go chasing them down. They don't need to talk to me. They don't need to talk to me. And they don't need another person to come before me. You know, it's like, I think I want to make a profession of faith. Don't tell somebody. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. And if he does something for you, and if he saves you, and he gives you understanding, then you'll come and you won't say, well, it won't be something sheepishly. Can I be baptized? The Lord commands me to be baptized. But anyway, he went with these letters. And said, it came to pass that the king of Israel had read these letters, and he rent his clothes and said, am I God? Only God could do this. Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover this man of his leprosy? And so Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king had rent his clothes, and said unto the king, and saying, why did you rend your clothes? Let him come unto me. Let him come unto me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. He shall know that there's one that could tell him who God is. And so Naaman came with his horses. Now, I'm thinking, I want you to see the thoughts and imaginations of man. Here's Naaman coming with all this pomp and ceremony. Men think in their mind that salvation is something that men can do. The Catholic religion is full of this. Pomp and ceremony. And that's what, if you ever heard anybody say sacrament, that's what they teach, that involved or wrapped in the ritual is actually the grace of God. So that if I, that's why they, by the way, they give the, you know, they're the ones that administer the Lord's table. They give it, put it in your mouth. They teach that in these sacraments is actually wrapped up the grace of God. They teach that a person is put into the kingdom of God by baptism. But that's what Naaman said. He came with his horses and his chariots and stood in the door of the house of Elijah. He's gonna be impressed by me. False religion does cater to that. False religion does cater to a man that comes in. Now we want to give honor to where honor is due. But the gospel is for sinners. And if the president of the United States comes in, we want to preach to him like we preach to everybody else. There's no difference. He needs a savior because he's a sinner. And Elisha came to him thinking that, well, he was going to come out to him. And it says Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash. Now, this is the message. This is the message of God. Go to the Lamb of God. look at the Lamb, look to the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Your leprosy is sin. My leprosy is sin. Who are we to go to have our leprosy taken away? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By His blood, only in His blood, we are to go to Him for washing of all our sins. And a person's going to believe God because God gave him faith to believe it, or he's going to get mad. And that's what Naaman did. He got mad. It says, go and wash in Jordan. Now, Naaman, again, his thoughts are, well, if it's just about washing in a river, there's two rivers over there in Syria that are crystal clear water, and this Jordan is a muddy water. And that offended his dignity. That offended his dignity. That a man of his stature, of his accomplishments, would have to come by the way of the vilest sinner. Man thinks that he's somebody. Man thinks that he's somebody. Naaman was wroth. He said, go wash in Jordan. And here's the offense of the cross. It took God sacrificing His own Son, the blood of the cross, to put away your sin. Can't be any other way. Can't be. You have to come by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will not be saved. You have to. Your sins have to be cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will not be saved. There's only one way. There's only one way. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, by His sacrifice. Naaman said, behold, I thought. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. I thought he will surely come out to me. Surely to me he'll come out. May not come out to this person, but surely to me, I'm somebody. Surely to me he'll come out. And he will surely come out to me, and he'll stand and he'll call on the name of his God. That's another thought that people have in their mind. Your God is just as good as my God. And you see, there's a lot of different ways. And if you're sincere and you're honest, some people can go by Buddha and some can go by this other. And no. A person is going to know that there's only one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could only come to God by Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord his God. Jehovah his God. That's what he's saying. He's still talking about his God, Nimrod. I guess I said it right. Jehovah, his God. He's going to come out in the name of Jehovah. I got my other God over here. He doesn't know that there's only one God. And he says he's going to strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And then he said, he gave this reason. He said, are not Abana and far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? Can I do that? I could do that and not, you know, I could have some dignity. I could have some dignity. So he turned away in rage. Well, bless God, here's a lesson that is taught, is that God is not going to allow His people to go away in rage. He went away in rage and he was mad. He was furious. But the Lord brought him. Saul of Tarsus was furious. Saul of Tarsus was furious. Again, he wanted to destroy everyone that confessed that Jesus Christ was the Lord. And the Lord arrested him. But he said, and his servants came near and spake it to him and said, my father, If the prophet had said unto thee some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Yes, he would have. He would have done anything if he could do something. Give something to man to do and they'll do it. But here's another thing. People call this gospel easy believing. Believe. If you can believe, believe. That we don't put any obstacles. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If he'd have told you some great thing, you would have done it. How much rather when he said to thee, wash and be clean. The gospel is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But men got it in their mind that they've got to do something. You have a little pamphlet back there. Done. Done. This is the gospel we preach. It's done. You know, false preachers always try to put some kind of thing to do. And that's a false preacher. The gospel gets men out of the way, puts them just between him and the Savior. But the Apostle Paul, is not just false preachers. Not just false preachers that bring up obstacles. The people that hear themselves. Naaman said, I thought. Now look over here, if you will, in Romans chapter 10. You know, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the faith that we preach, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they are being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. That's all the law says. Do and live. It contains no stipulation for mercy. Do and live. Don't do. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the law to do them. But the righteousness which is of the faith, the righteousness that comes by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness that saves us, speaketh on this wise. Notice the first thing it says, say not. Say not. Preachers are not, God's preachers are not putting obstacles, you know, like come down before here and you must experience this experience or you must have this great experience of repentance and you must have this feeling. God's preachers are not saying that. You don't say it. You see what I'm saying? Here's the gospel we're preaching. Don't you put obstacles in front. Don't say in your heart. Don't say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Well, that's a great thing, right? Who should? Christ already came down. Christ already came down from heaven. Christ already came. It's already done. Don't you say what you got to do. That's not what we're saying. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ in from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And that is, when the gospel is preached, it's either there or it's not there. God shines a light. It's either there or it's not there. It's not there one moment, and then the Lord shines a light, and it's there. That's the word. That's when God gives life. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. This is what we're preaching. That God gives life. And don't say what you've got to do. It's done. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt believe with thine heart. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This man, he went away mad. Naaman went away mad. And the servant said, if you'd have said to do something simple, you'd do it. And Naaman, now notice the obedience of faith. Then went he down. Then went he down. Well, that's grace. The grace of God manifested. Otherwise, a man will not come. Otherwise, a man will not come down. He went down. Can you imagine Naaman going down to the river and all these servants around him? And now he's got to take those clothes off. He's got to take those clothes off. And now he really has to expose who he is. A man's going to come as a sinner, or he's not going to come. A man's going to need salvation, or he's never coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Imagine him going down to the river and taking them clothes off, one after the other, and finally getting down into his breeches. And now he walks down into the river. Why? Because he's obeying what God said by the prophet. And he dips in the first time, and he comes up and he washes, and it's still the same. But God said, come unto me. Keep coming. You look at yourself right now and you say, well, I believe God, but boy, I see a lot of sin in me. You keep coming. You keep coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep coming. You keep coming. To whom coming? Keep coming. Keep the. One day you'll open your eyes and your flesh will be just like his. But he had washed seven times. Washed seven times. And that seventh time he came up and his skin was like a little baby. Well, you read on. He said, well, now I know. Now I know there's only one God. Now, man has to be stripped of his thoughts about God and how God is going to save a sinner. And man has to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep coming to him. Keep trusting him. He that begun a good work will perform it. Keep coming. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ will come for you. And when he comes for you, you'll open your eyes and you'll see him like he is. And you'll be like him. May the Lord bless this word. Thank you, brother.